Thank you, Jerry, for the fine introduction. Do appreciate it. Welcome, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? All right, awesome. So I'm excited to be here, excited to educate, excited to teach, inform, and hopefully inspire many of you. Maybe for those of you that are brand new to self-directed IRAs, enlighten some of you into looking at retirement account investing and real estate investing through a little different lens. And that lens is a self-directed IRA, self-directed Roth IRA, which I will talk a lot about. Who has a Roth IRA by show of hands? Okay. If you don't have a Roth IRA after today's program, you will likely be enlightened to the point where you will want to open a Roth IRA, even if it's something as simple as going down to your local bank and opening a Roth and making a contribution. And then we'll also discuss a solo 401k. Who has a self-directed solo 401k by show of hands? Okay, a few of us. If you are a real estate entrepreneur, business owner, you have earned income, you'll find that a solo 401k can be a really great tool for you. And the whole concept of self-direction into real estate is to leverage what I call compounding interest in the absence of taxation. I would ask you to write that down, but it'll take a little while, and we only have about 90 minutes. So compounding interest without taxes. All right, now, what does that mean? Well, I will display this for you numerically throughout today's presentation. So for those of you that are a little bit more analytical, we'll actually share with you these compounding effects. But let me share it with you in the form of a real client investment example. So a good friend of mine, an investor, his name is Scott. He's from Rochester, New York. And him and his wife, Chris, came to me in 2010. And they came to one of our one-day workshops. So who's been to one of our self-directed IRA one-day workshops? I know there's been a few of us. Awesome. And so he came to this workshop. He was brand new to self-directed IRAs, just getting started in real estate. And he had IRAs and 401ks and Roth IRAs, and he moved those over into a self-directed IRA environment. Because see, for those of you that are brand new, what you'll learn is your current IRAs and 401ks and other retirement plans with other financial institutions, they're most likely not going to allow you to invest in real estate, right? They're going to force you into only investing in traditional stock market-based assets. And so Scott and his wife, Chris, had to move their accounts to an equity trust self-directed IRA so that they could start investing in real estate, start taking more control over their retirement savings. And so that's what they did in 2010. And in 2010, they set out on a goal of officially retiring in the year 2025. And their goal for retirement was to sell their primary residence in Rochester, New York, get in their RV, and the rest of their retirement years spent traveling the country. Scott called me just before the pandemic hit in 2020, and he said, John, we put our primary residence up for sale, we're auctioning off most of our belongings, we're packing up the RV, and we are pursuing our lifelong retirement goal. And I said, wait a second, Scott, I wasn't expecting to get this call until 2025. He got there 5 years short of their initial goal. I said, Scott, you know, how did you do it? He said, well, one, you know, good investing, right? Smart investing. He buys rentals. He does fix and flip deals. They do private loans to other investors with their self-directed IRAs. And he said, John, mathematically, and Scott is a very analytical individual, he had multiple spreadsheets mapped out for this 15-year goal. He said, John, the one calculation that I missed, the one variable that I missed in the overall financial equation, was that I don't have to pay taxes on my profits. And this is what compounding interest in the absence of taxation can do for individuals. So when people come to me, they see me in the hallway, and they say, John, what do you do for a living? What does equity trust do? And I say, well, I'm a real estate investor, number one. My wife and I are landlords. We do private loans to other investors. I've been in real estate my entire life, and I've been with Equity Trust, as someone said, 13 years. And I've been teaching thousands of investors about these concepts. And I say, you know, what I do is I help people get to their retirement goals in a shorter period of time. Who wants to get to their retirement goals in a shorter period of time? Right? We all should be raising our hands. That's what my wife and I are pursuing, and that's the gift that we're trying to give to other investors, just like Scott and Christine who are now traveling the country in their RV because they stripped out that variable of taxation. And again, I will share this with you numerically. So I just wanted to start off sharing that story with you and pre-framing this whole conversation around, hey, we can show you how to get to your retirement goals in a shorter period of time so that you don't have to work as hard. Like Jerry said before, we can make a lot of money, but more importantly, how much of that money can we keep? And that's what we have the opportunity to share with you today. Now, I'm going to talk about rental properties in a self-directed IRA. I own rentals in a self-directed IRA. A lot of my clients own rentals in a self-directed IRA. I will say at the very beginning of the program that there are a lot of naysayers out there. Has anyone heard someone say, it makes no sense to invest in rentals with a self-directed IRA because you're taking a tax-advantaged account and putting it into an already tax-advantaged asset? Who's heard that before? I know a lot of people have. Because coming to these conferences and seminars, I consistently hear that. And unfortunately, the people that say it have never done a self-directed IRA deal in their life. They have no idea. Because here's the deal. When you own rental property outside of your IRA, you get to take advantage of depreciation. I own rentals inside of my self-directed IRAs and outside of my self-directed IRAs. For my wife and I, it's a rising tide. It's not all in our IRA or all outside of our IRA. It's, okay, we're going to do deals outside of our IRA that makes sense for outside of our IRA, and then we're going to do deals inside of our self-directed IRA. Right? Think of the rising tide approach in this business. And so what a lot of people don't think about when they own rentals outside of their IRA is you get to write off all that depreciation over the course of that rental. Some people are using like an accelerated depreciation model, but what happens when you sell the property? Capital gains. What happens to all that depreciation that you got to take advantage of? It gets recaptured. But guess what? With a Roth IRA in particular, I'm going to focus really heavily on the Roth IRA. We can eliminate recapture depreciation. We eliminate entirely capital gains tax. Let me give you a real world example. Two clients of mine, my colleague May Zippel in the back of the room knows them very, very well, Kevin and Cynthia from St. Louis. Kevin and Cynthia came to Equity Trust in 2010. You're going to hear a pattern. A lot of people came to Equity Trust in 2010 and moved over their retirement accounts. Why do you think that is? The Great Recession. People became disenfranchised with the financial markets. Now, right now, the financial markets have been doing pretty well. Would you all agree? They have. Well, it was doing very well back then, and then when it crashed, everybody became disenfranchised. They moved their monies over into self-directed IRAs and began investing in real estate. I'm not prognosticating the traditional stock market. All right, that's for you to decide. But what I can tell you is if you don't have a lot of faith in the traditional financial markets, then a self-directed IRA is going to be a good home for you. So Kevin and Cynthia came in 2010, and they both had 401ks. Who's had or does have a 401k plan? Okay, great. So they had 401k plans, and they left their jobs, and they rolled those 401ks over into traditional IRAs. We'll talk about that and what that means. They then subsequently converted their traditional IRAs to Roth IRAs. We call it getting the taxes out of the way in the seed so we don't have to pay it in the much larger crop. And from there, they began investing in rental property. Now, it's not just rentals for them. It's multiple buy and hold strategies. They buy traditional rentals. They fix them up. They rent them out. All of the cash flow comes back in tax-free. All right? This goes back to the comparison between non-IRA deals and IRA deals. All of the cash flow is tax-free. There's no zero tax reporting. There's no Schedule E. There's no reporting on their own 1040 of the income because it's in their IRA. So they have this cash flow coming in. And what do you think they do with that cash flow? They reinvest. They call it plowing the money back into more deals so they can leverage compounding interest in the absence of taxation and get to their retirement goals in a shorter period of time. And so in 2010, they only had about $100,000. They each went out with their respective Roth IRAs after they converted funds from their traditional to their Roth, getting the taxes out of the way, and they each bought an income-producing rental property. They took that cash flow and they plowed it back into more properties. So then in year two and three, they bought their third rental and then their fourth. In addition to rentals, they've also bought houses, fixed them up using all their IRA money in the accounts, and then they've sold those properties on owner financing, carrying the paper. Another cash flowing asset they add to their retirement portfolio, the Roth IRA portfolio. They've also done buy, fix, and sell on lease option to purchase. Who's done lease option to purchase deals? Okay, there's a lot of creative financing type transactions being talked about at this seminar. Bill Cook is a great example. Peter Fortunato, one of the greats in the self-directed IRA space. Everything that these guys are talking about, and gals, you can do in a self-directed retirement plan. There's very, very few limitations, and those limitations we will teach you and we will show you so that you can stay away from the potential pitfalls and hurdles of this business. And so Kevin and Cynthia started with $100,000 in 2010. They have bought and sold just over 20 houses. So some of their rentals they've sold, taken that profit, which was tax-free, and then plowed it into more investments. They now have over $1 million in properties, and they're generating $139,000 in tax-free cash flow on an annual basis. That's net operating cash flow on an annual basis. There's no debt on these properties. They've never taken a loan on any of the deals. You'll learn that you can do self-directed IRA deals without ever having to take a dime of private lending or hard money loans or bank loans. I can share with you how to do this and do it effectively. And there's a reason why we don't go to banks when we want to have our IRA be involved in a deal. We'll dive into that a little bit deeper. And so Kevin and Cynthia have this $139,000 in tax-free cash flow flowing back into their Roth IRAs. They are over the qualified retirement age of 59 and a half. Write that age down, 59 and a half. That's the magical age. That's when you could start taking personal distributions from your Roth IRA. So conceivably, Kevin and Cynthia are living what they call a tax-free lifestyle. Every year, should they choose to, they can take a distribution from that Roth IRA, let's call it in the amount of $139,000, and that never hits their Schedule E or a 1040 as ordinary income. It's 100% tax-free. Is this making sense to you guys?
Yep.
Would you like $139,000 tax-free, right, every single year? Right? We all should be saying yes. So this is, again, what I call compounding interest in the absence of taxation. Now, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I want to go here because I know there's a lot of advanced investors in this room. Legacy and estate planning. So Kevin and Cynthia, when I asked them, hey, what do you plan on doing with this money in your Roth IRA? You got $139,000, you must be doing something with it. They said, no, John, and they're in their mid-60s now. They said, we're not planning on using a single dime of this money in our retirement years. Our children are the beneficiaries of these Roth IRAs, and if our children have their own children, they're going to be listed as the beneficiaries. Because here's the thing with IRAs that you'll learn about. You can leave it to your children or grandchildren, specifically a Roth IRA, tax-free. Now, the law did change in January 1 of 2020. It was called the Secure Act. Who heard of the Secure Act, by the way? I always like to ask. All right, a minority of the room. It happened. Most people didn't know about it. Why? Because apparently that's not media worthy. But it impacted the self-directed IRA and IRA business in general. Now, it wasn't overly impactful. Good news. What it did is it said, okay, if you inherit an IRA, the person who inherits it, assuming it's not a spouse, they have to take it out in 10 years. That's okay. So Kevin and Cynthia, they say, hey, leave it to the grandchildren, tax-free. The grandchildren pay 0% tax. They can continue to use it for 10 years. And because Kevin and Cynthia took on the tax burden by converting it when it was only $100,000, not when it's over $1 million in properties and cash flow, the grandchildren can benefit from all that tax-free profit. That leads me to, here are the three reasons why I am as passionate as you can tell I am about self-directed IRAs. Here they are, and write these down. Number one, you don't pay taxes. That's an easy one. You've heard of that already. All right? Number two, administrative burden. I don't like filing tax returns. I don't like additional paperwork. I don't like additional spreadsheets. What you're going to learn is a self-directed IRA, as long as you're working with the right custodian, All the record keeping, all the administration is done for you. It's self-sufficient. It's on autopilot. You don't have to worry about a tax return. Now, my wife and I, like I said, we own rentals outside of our IRA and inside of our IRA. And every time I get to the rentals outside of my IRA, it's like, oh, gosh, I got to do this, that, or another. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Again, rising tide. But then we get to our IRAs, and it's like a massive relief. It's like, oh, I don't have to deal with this. I don't have to deal with the paperwork. It's easy. And most importantly, it's tax-free. So that's number two. Less paperwork. Number three, and this is something that I have found is highly underappreciated. IRAs avoid probate. IRAs avoid probate. In fact, when you look up Equity Trust, you'll find that our headquarters is in Cleveland, Ohio, where we've been since 1974, but we're domiciled and chartered as a trust company in South Dakota. A lot of people say, well, why South Dakota? Well, there's many reasons, but one of the most primary reasons is that set up properly through a company like Equity Trust, your IRA avoids probate. You don't have to worry about a will. You don't have to worry about a trust. Now, if you're doing all of those things for your non-IRA assets, that makes sense, right? But for your IRA, you have the peace of mind knowing if something happens to you, that IRA is left to your spouse or your children or your other loved ones, and it avoids the complicated process of probate. Is that making sense to you guys? All right? And I say that very passionately because I'll tell you, in the pandemic, the CARES Act, who's heard of the CARES Act? Probably a lot of you, right? So there's a little provision in the CARES Act that a lot of people aren't familiar with. It's section 2202, if you're interested. The coronavirus-related distribution. People in this country raided their IRAs in 2020. Why? Because the government told them they could. And I talked to a lot of people and I said, were you not able to eat? Did you not have a home to live in? No, I did. I just thought I might as well raid my IRA. No reason to take money out of the IRA. Don't take money out of your IRA unless you absolutely, absolutely have to. In fact, your IRA is protected against creditors. So if those people raid their IRA and then they end up filing bankruptcy, guess what? Creditors go in and take that money. We keep it in our IRA and we're protected. So just remember those three characteristics of an IRA. And we'll also talk about contributions to an IRA and how much you can contribute to an IRA. Now, let me fast forward from rental properties, and I'm going to show you some examples of rental property investing and how to do it the right way. I also want to showcase some examples of joint ventures. Because when we talk about rental property, some of you might be thinking, well, wait a second, I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars in a retirement plan to go out and start buying the types of rentals that I'm buying. Who's there? Who doesn't have a ton of money in their IRA? It's okay. All right? There's a concept of joint venturing. You can joint venture partner your IRA with your non-IRA money. You can joint venture your IRA money with your spouse's IRA. You can joint venture your traditional and Roth IRA. I'll show you one of my rental properties that I own between my Roth traditional and my non-IRA money. And then you can also partner with a friend or another investor that you meet at a RIA group or a convention like we're here today. And I'm going to showcase what this looks like. And this can be a way for you with your IRA that maybe just has a small amount of money to start growing it in a very, very meaningful way. And then master leasing. All right, so for those who's familiar with master leasing? All right, good. For those of you that aren't familiar, master leasing is where we find exhausted landlords, we rent their properties, and then we sublease to individual end tenants, and we make a spread, and you'll find that those spreads are very significant based on the furnishings that we're putting into those homes. And the landlord's happy, we're happy, and we're doing it with an IRA so it's tax-free. Now, master leasing has been around for a long time, but over the pandemic, because of market conditions, an investor in Cleveland, a good friend of mine, her name is Candace, she has created the blueprint for doing this with an IRA. And I have never seen anyone, at least that I know of across the country, that has created a blueprint specific to an IRA. And there is a reason why I'm saying specific to an IRA. You have to structure these transactions properly when you do it with your IRA. We're not talking short-term vacation rentals here. We're doing a minimum one-month lease. And you'll learn in this program why that is. Last but not least, I'm not going to dive into detail in this program, but I did want to mention private lending. Okay? I have a case study on master leasing at the end, okay? So I'm going to dive into that in more detail. But I wanted to mention that you can also loan your money secured by real estate. Is anyone doing that now? Private lending with their... Okay, awesome. That's what my wife and I do. So we have rentals and we have cash flow coming in. And we're not always in a situation where we could just go out and buy another rental. But we have lots of investors in our network that need our money for their rehab deals. So while we're waiting for our money to be deployed for another rental, we loan our money out to other investors. We keep it working for us. We're increasing the velocity of our money. And all of that interest income is tax-free. Do you know what interest income is taxed at? Interest income, you have a savings account. You get a 1099 from your bank. How do you report that on your 1040? So yeah, it's interest income. Ordinary income. So if I have to report that interest income on my 1040 because I'm not doing the deal with my IRA, I'm going to pay a 30% tax based on my situation. So 30 cents on every dollar is going to be paid in the form of taxes. I do these transactions with my IRAs or self-directed 401ks, and I'm exempt from paying taxes. That goes back to the compounding interest in the absence of taxation. So tax-sheltered, self-directed IRAs. Tax-sheltered, self-directed retirement accounts. There are three account types that are most important that 95% of the people in this room are going to want to focus on. The traditional IRA, Roth IRA, solo 401k. Not everybody in this room is going to qualify for a solo 401k. Contrary to the belief and the communications by many organizations and online forums, not every real estate investor should have a solo 401k. And I say that very passionately because I speak all over the country. I've worked with over 20,000 investors. And I'll tell you, the consistent pattern of conversation I get is people call in. They want to talk to me. They say, I opened a solo 401k with XYZ company. Their name shall remain anonymous. And I say, okay, well, let me ask you a couple questions about your situation. Do you have active earned income in a business that is overseeing that solo 401k? And they go, no, I've never claimed any income. I've never paid Social Security or Medicare tax on any of my income. So, okay, well, you've never qualified for a solo 401k then. And they're like, well, what do you mean? The company said all I got to do is pay them $2,000 and they'll open a solo 401k for me. That's what these companies will do. They don't care. Most of them aren't regulated. They'll open a solo 401k for you as long as you give them money. That doesn't mean that you're qualified to do so. And then they call me for me to try to unwind the hornet's nest that they created. So solo 401ks can be very, very beneficial. There's some very interesting characteristics with solo 401ks, such as higher contribution limits. There's a Roth component that you can take advantage of. If you do leveraged real estate transactions, you can avoid a little-known tax called UBIT tax. It can be very attractive. But again, actually, it's a small percentage of people that actually qualify for this account. That's okay, because this is how we operate at Equity Trust. We review the situation, determine what your specific needs are, and then we work together and sometimes even work together in concert with your CPA to select the right type of account for you. 95% of people open a traditional or Roth IRA because they have existing retirement accounts elsewhere, and some people say, hey, I like the idea of a Roth IRA because of the tax-free benefits, so they'll also open a Roth IRA. But we can help you through that process. There are some other self-directed investment accounts that we have some training on that we can provide to you, such as the SEP IRA, Simple IRA, the Coverdell Education Savings Account, and the Health Savings Account. So Vina talks a lot about her Health Savings Account. Has anyone heard Vina's discussions or presentations on Health Savings Accounts? She's doing some very interesting things with her Health Savings Account. Even with a small amount of money, through wholesaling, through some smaller dollar investments, joint ventures, she's growing that account tax-free to be able to pay for her healthcare expenses tax-free. So it does go beyond just these IRAs, but it's going to start with the IRA for most folks. For those of you that are brand new, which, by the way, who's brand new? Who's never been to a self-directed IRA seminar conference before? Okay, so I'm going to go through this quick, but follow along with me. Self-directed is just an industry term. It just indicates to you that you can self-direct into what you know, like, and understand. You have control. Most financial institutions, they're not going to allow you to self-direct your IRA. So if you go to a TD Ameritrade or Schwab or Fidelity or any of these other firms, and that's not to bash those companies because they're very good at what they do in the traditional financial space. But what they don't have the infrastructure and tools for is investing in real estate. That's where Equity Trust, as a provider, as a custodian, can be a good fit for you because we have the tools, the infrastructure, the over 400 associates to pick up the phone and walk you through this process. So you have a broader availability of investment options with a self-directed retirement plan. It's not a legal term. You're not going to find self-directed IRA in the tax code. Go to 4975, go to Section 408. If you're interested in your light reading, some of you have heard that joke. It's really bad. I don't have many jokes. I take a very serious approach. So if I tell a bad one, just laugh at me, okay? All right, so how do you self-direct? Well, it's simple. You open up a self-directed IRA and you transfer or roll over money. That's actually the simple process. It takes no more than 10 minutes. Now, some of you might have existing IRAs now or 401ks or other plans now, and some of you might just be setting up an account and making a contribution. There's a variety of ways to fund a self-directed retirement plan. If you have a 401k, 403b, 457, maybe you work for the federal government and you have a thrift savings plan, these are all what we call employer-sponsored plans. And so as long as you leave the company or you reach a certain qualifying event, they're going to let you roll that money over into a self-directed IRA. We call it a rollover. And you don't have to do all of that on your own, the good news is. We'll help you with that process. We'll help you open your account and roll over the money from point A to point B. Maybe you have an existing IRA, traditional IRA, Roth IRA, simple IRA, SEP IRA. That's a simple IRA to IRA transfer. We'll help you through that process. You're just moving money from one bank account to another. It's not as if you are taking money out and paying taxes and penalties and putting it into an IRA. One of the most common misconceptions I find in the industry is folks think that when they roll over or transfer money, there's going to be some sort of catastrophic taxes or penalties associated with that movement. That's so far from the truth. We wouldn't be in business if that's the case, right? But I'll tell you, who do you think out there in the professional financial world is going to tell you that that is the case? Who do you think might tell you that? FA, even a CPA? I'm not beating up on those professions. All I'm telling you is cautioning you that those individuals might not have the acumen around self-direction because their acumen is around traditional financial services. Sometimes I have to get on the phone with these professionals to explain to them, that's okay. My associate May and I, my other colleagues in our office, we're happy to do that for you. Some financial advisors are more friendly to self-directed IRAs than others. All right, but ultimately, it's your job to take control. If it doesn't make sense for you to have your money in a traditional stock portfolio, and it makes a lot more sense to have it in real estate, then ultimately you have to take charge of that, and don't feel guilty. I get a lot of people that say, well, you know, I've known him for a long time, and we go to church together, and if you can make more money on your money, then you got to take action on that, right? You guys with me on this? Yeah. All right, so if you want to get started with a self-directed IRA, you're going to roll over or transfer your money, and if you are going to start new, you make a contribution, and we can talk about how you go through that. Now, I'm going to take a pause for a moment and just shift gears for a second. This is important. So although I'm an investor, I'll say maybe number one, equally, I should say, there's no number one or number two, I'm a representative of Equity Trust, and I've been with the organization for quite a while now. And I'm very passionate about teaching investors, but it's important for me to communicate that I'm not here to be your legal advisor, your tax advisor, your CPA. Yes, I can point you in the direction of specific areas of the tax code. We can talk about, you know, how IRAs impact a tax return or lack thereof, of course. We can talk about all these types of things, but what I can't do is provide you the direct tax, legal, or financial advice. But what I can do is provide a ton of education and information. Has this session been educational so far? Okay, there's still a lot more. I still have about an hour. So what I do is provide a lot of training, a lot of one-on-one support through our service departments, through our onboarding department, and we can help you learn more about this beyond just this session. We did recently create a course. One of the gifts that I suppose the pandemic gave to me is it gave me the opportunity to spend more time at home and less time out speaking at events. So we invested in a virtual classroom. Some of you may have attended some of our virtual sessions that we've been doing because we can't get out to our customers in the field, out in our live environment. We've created a virtual classroom for folks to come in and log in virtually. And so through this pandemic, we created what I'll call first ever self-directed IRA and 401k owner's manual. So many investors came to me over the years and said, John, I got my self-directed IRA or 401k, now what do I do with it? Who's been there before? You open the IRA or 401k and then it's, okay, what do I do now? Well, you gotta have an owner's manual. So we created an owner's manual. And we call it the Self-Directed IRA and 401k Master Course. And this comes from a lot of the tribal knowledge, from the thousands of investors that I've worked with over the country, lots of case studies, lots of information, a training course that you can take on the go with you and learn once you have the Self-Directed IRA up and running, as you need to consume that information in real time. So at the end of the program, I'll talk a little bit about that course. And for those of you that are interested in taking a look at it, we'll talk about how you can take action in taking advantage of actually getting a hold of that. Alrighty, so let's move on. Self-directed IRAs, self-directed Roth IRAs, self-directed solo 401ks. You have to understand the tax nature of investing inside and outside of an IRA. So think of it this way. You have three buckets that you can elect to put your money and assets in. Bucket number one is your taxable bucket. Bucket number two is your tax-deferred bucket. And then bucket number three is your tax-free bucket. All right, taxable, tax-deferred, and tax-free. Your taxable bucket, and I'll demonstrate this in just a second. Your taxable bucket, think any dollar that you put away into an account that is not an IRA, 401k, or other retirement plan. So that account is going to be exposed to taxes as you invest it. So represented here, what this is a compounding interest example. So in this time value money example, I'm applying a $6,000 contribution per year, which equates to $16.43 a day, for a compound, I'm going to say a compounding return of 12% per year. I'm going to factor in taxes of 30% in each of those 25 years as I grow the account. And I'm going to factor in a 20% tax rate when I take all the money out in 25 years. So we're going to start with $6,000 a year, grow it for 25 years at 12%, and then we're going to take all the money out. In a taxable environment, we have to factor in that every dollar we make in all of those 25 years, we have to pay taxes at 30% in this example. In a taxable environment, we have $601,000 saved. Then we move on to the tax-deferred environment, traditional IRA. So when you hear tax-deferred, think traditional IRA. What this means, for those of you who aren't familiar, is when you make a contribution to these accounts, whether it's a 401k, 403b, or traditional IRA, you get a tax deduction. And then it grows tax-deferred, and when you take the money out, you got to pay taxes. So in a tax-deferred environment, applying these same numbers, we have about $894,000 saved. So we're doing better than the taxable environment, right? We got nearly $300,000 in taxes saved in a traditional IRA environment. There is value in investing with your traditional IRA. There are some investors that I've spoken to at conferences where they say, well, the only way to self-direct is with a Roth IRA. Who's heard that before? The only way to self-direct is with a Roth IRA. A couple. You can self-direct a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA, and there's value in both. You'll see some examples of that. And then we move on to this Roth IRA environment. And if we apply these same numbers, we have 1.117 million saved. So in a Roth IRA, that is funded with post-tax dollars, we call that. We put money in after tax, it grows tax-free, and then when we take the money out, we pay 0% tax. So Kevin and Cynthia, with their portfolio of rental properties that we talked about, they paid the taxes on the money going into the account already. They actually did what's called a Roth conversion, and we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail. So you see, the Roth IRA, compared to the taxable environment, we have over $516,000 saved. The Roth, compared to the traditional environment, we have over $200,000 saved. Does this make sense to everybody numerically? Okay, awesome. So, yes, sir.
If you go back to that slide. So you say that some regarding the traditional IRA and the Roth IRA, you say the numbers are the same, meaning you put in $6,000 per year in each account?
If you chose to contribute to a traditional instead of a Roth at $6,000 a year, that would be your outcome. You could look at it as you're contributing to both.
Okay. Well, my question is, in the Roth, does this account for the taxes being paid? Because you're paying the taxes. If I want to get $6,000 in my Roth, I have to pay taxes before I get to $6,000.
Yeah. So what you're thinking of is, if I got a deduction, I have extra cash. And then what do I do with that extra cash as I employ that into my compounding numbers? I know where you're going with that, and that's one of the directions that a lot of CPAs go in. So I talk to a lot of CPAs that are very anti-Roth IRA. I'm not beating up on that profession by any means. I'm just cautioning you. Now, there are a lot of CPAs out there that are very Roth-friendly, okay? But you have to be careful with that, because if your returns are substantial, okay, which a lot of real estate investors I see, they're making 15, 20, 25% return, sometimes even more. So as you start getting into those larger returns, your compounding effects become much greater, and ultimately you'll find that a Roth IRA can be more advantageous from a long-term perspective. So that's something to consider, but you bring up a good point, sir, which is, well, what if I had those tax deductions and I took that extra cash and put it into more investments? This model, by the way, or example, doesn't include that. So that's something that we could run out separately. Alrighty, so there are three methods. I want you to write these down. There's three methods to finance real estate purchases. Three methods. Method one, and I'll show you an example in just a second, is where you buy a property as a cash buyer 100% with your IRA. Simple as that. Simplest way to invest with an IRA. Okay? You got enough cash in an IRA, you buy a property, your IRA pays for the fix-up and repairs, and then your IRA receives all the profits, of course, tax-free or tax-deferred, depending on whether it's a traditional or Roth IRA. Now, does everybody have enough cash in their IRA to be able to do 100% cash deals all the time? No, we don't. I certainly don't. And so that's where we get into the method number two, which is partnering. So you can write down partnering as number two. Partnering with your spouse, partnering with your other IRAs, partnering with maybe children, partnering with friends, family members, other individuals. I'll share some examples. And then method number three is you can write down non-recourse loan. Non-recourse loan. Your IRA can borrow money. It happens sometimes. Some investors do that. But you can't go to a conventional lender and get a loan for your IRA to go out and do a deal. Why? Because when you go to a conventional lender, they're going to ask for something called a personal guarantee, right? You got to sign a personal guarantee, which means that lender, in the case of a default, can come after more than just the property. With your IRA, under the provisions of 4975, it's actually 4975C1B, if you're interested, and it says the lending of money or extension of credit. It's a prohibited transaction. So if you went to a conventional lender and borrowed money and they asked you to sign a personal guarantee, you'd actually blow up your IRA. It'd become distributed. Now, most lenders know that this exists, so they won't loan to your IRA. And a lot of them think it's a more risky loan. In some cases, it's not. So you have to get a non-recourse loan. There are some lenders out there, we know of them, that we could potentially refer you to. But you have to get a non-recourse loan. And then lastly, you'll find that when your IRA takes on debt, that's the one of the very few instances where your IRA can be taxed. It's a tax called unrelated business income tax. Who's heard of it? Okay, UBIT tax. And essentially what it is it's a tax on just a percentage of the profits based on the percentage of the property that's debt financed. So if you bought a property for $100,000 and borrowed $50,000 and you were at 50% debt, you'd have to pay some tax on 50% of your net profit. On rentals, you might actually be able to take advantage of depreciation and your expense write-offs and get to a point where you have a net zero, but you'd have to do that math. For that reason, a lot of investors don't take on debt. And that's why I'm going to jump into some case studies now and show you multiple examples of investors that are investing in real estate without ever borrowing money. And when they bring on a partner, they're bringing them on not as a private lender, but they're bringing them on as a money partner, as a joint venture partner. And we'll jump into that. I'll leave the questions just until the end, and then I'll make sure to catch those for you guys. All right, so this is Gary from Ohio. Actually, Cleveland, Ohio. He bought this property with his Roth IRA for $68,000, put $20,000 worth of work into it. And so he's in it for $88,000. And his IRA bought this at a foreclosure auction, actually at the Cuyahoga County Sheriff's Sale Auction. So your IRAs through Equity Trust, yes, can buy properties at foreclosure auctions. And so he was in it for $88,000. His IRA paid for all expenses. Know that when your IRA owns a property, your IRA has to pay for all fix-up and repairs, of course. The IRA, it's a double. Unit A is paying $950, Unit B is paying $900 for a gross income of $1,850. After expenses, the monthly net operating income is $1,400. The ARV on this property is $140,000. So he's got $1,400 in tax-free cash flow coming in every single month. No Schedule E like we talked about. He is getting to 59 and a half. He's only about a year and a half away. So conceivably, he's got $1,400 in tax-free cash flow coming in every single month. If he sells this property, like we talked about, no long-term capital gains tax, no recaptured appreciation, because it's all in his Roth IRA. Now, Gary didn't always have enough money to be able to go out and buy a property, fix up and repair at $88,000. Here's a fix and flip deal where he didn't have enough money in his Roth IRA, so he actually partnered his Roth IRA with his non-IRA money. So joint venture example number one here is partnering with your non-IRA money. But pay very special close attention here, folks, because we have to make sure we do it the right way. Otherwise, we could create what's called a prohibited transaction. So follow along with me. Gary found this house, purchase price of $41,500. Needed $30,000 in repairs. So he needed about $72,000 for the fix up and repairs. Didn't have $72,000 in his Roth at the time. This was before the rental deal. So what he did is he partnered his Roth IRA and his non-IRA money. At closing, the title company received a wire transfer from the Roth in the amount of $31,125. And then from his bank account, personal bank account, actually his LLC checking account it was, he sent $10,375. So the total investment was $71,500, carved up $75,25. You'll see down here titling, Equity Trust Company Custodian, FBO, Gary's IRA, undivided interest 75%, and his LLC undivided interest 25%. So the IRA is not investing in the LLC. They're entering into a tenants in common arrangement, 75-25. They sold the property for $116,000. They had $30,000 in repairs. How do you think those $30,000 in repairs were split up? 75-25. See, under the provisions of the tax code, had they not split up the repairs 75-25, that would be what's called a self-dealing prohibited transaction. Some of you have probably heard of that before. You may have heard, oh, you can't do business with your IRA. You can do business, you just got to make sure you do it the right way. You can be involved with your IRA, but you got to make sure you structure the transaction properly. And that's how you structure the transaction properly. You set your percentages, and then you make sure all of your profits and all of your expenses flow proportionate to that percentage. So on this deal, they had $10,000 in closing costs. Their profit, 75% of the profit goes back to the Roth, tax-free, in the amount of about $26,000. And then they have about $8,600 going back to Gary's LLC, which is, of course, taxable. So he's going to have to pay short-term capital gains at $8,600, but not on the $26,000. That goes directly back into the Roth IRA. Doesn't have to be 75-25. It could be 80-20. You could have three or four investors involved in the transaction. I have this slide here so you can understand titling. Your IRA, when buying properties, needs to buy those. You can take pictures if you like. That's acceptable. Your IRA is doing the deal, not you personally. So this is how you title it. Equity Trust Company Custodian, FBO, your name or account number, IRA. Most of our investors, including myself, we put our account number instead of our name. Why would we use our account number? Anonymity, privacy, right? We want to keep our name off public record. This is important. I also say this because a lot of investors will come to me and they'll say, John, I need to form an LLC or a land trust, right, to do my IRA deals. Who's heard that before? You don't. It's not necessary. All right? You never, ever, ever have to form an LLC or a land trust for your IRA to do deals. 95% of our clients, they do all of their real estate directly using their IRA. That being said, you might have an instance in the future where it might make sense for you to form an LLC or a land trust to do your real estate transactions. And I have specific training associated with that. So I can work with your attorney, we can all work together to make sure we structure this properly. But 95% of deals that are going to happen from people in this room are going to be directly using the IRA. You don't have to overcomplicate things, and we don't have to add to our costs. All you have to do is pay a fee to Equity Trust for us to custody your IRA, and we'll talk about what that looks like. So we want to keep this simple and low cost for you. All right, so this leads us to the how-to. All right, there's three steps involved in this process you're going to want to write down. Step number one is open and fund your self-directed IRA. Step number two is direct your investment. And then step number three is manage and monitor your investment. That's the fun part. The setting up your account and funding your account isn't all that exciting, to be honest with you, okay? Like, I'm always hopeful that when I help someone, or May in the back, she helps people open accounts every day, that like people are going to like have this like be overjoyed that they opened up a self-directed IRA. Well, the self-directed IRA is just the tool. What do we have to do with that tool to really make a difference? Right, we got to use it. We got to go out and invest it. So then we move into directing our investment and then managing and monitoring, and that's where the fun part comes in, because we get to start seeing the returns. We get to start seeing the checks coming back in to our self-directed retirement plans. Now, let me pause for a moment, and this is a public service announcement. All right, so everybody pay very special close attention. If you want to invest in real estate with your IRA and you don't already have a self-directed IRA, or for those of you that have a self-directed IRA here, because I know there are many of you, but you don't have money in the account that you need to get from another account, you need to make sure you're set up and funded well in advance. May Zippel, who's in the very back, May, if you could stand up for a minute, just so everybody can see you. May's been my right-hand person for many years, close to a decade now. Her and I have worked with thousands of investors. The number one pitfall that we find in this industry, and it shouldn't be surprising to anyone, some of you may have done this, and if you did, you don't have to raise your hand, I'm not going to ask you, okay? Not going to make an example. Folks will come to conferences like this, or come to one of our virtual trainings, or they take advantage of our course, and we tell them you got to set up and fund your account in advance, and what do you think happens? They find their deal, and then they call us 2 or 3 days before they need to fund said deal. Well, guess what? If you have a 401k, IRA, other retirement account elsewhere, do you think that financial institution is going to be willing to cough up that money overnight and send it to Equity Trust? No. Absolutely not. God, this happens every single day to us, no matter what we do, no matter how passionately we talk about this. This is what happens. It's just reality. One person in this room is going to call Mayor I 6 months from now with a deal in mind, and their account's not going to be set up and funded. So, public service announcement in recap, and then we'll move on. If you want to get involved, you want to invest in real estate, set up and fund your account in advance. The earnest money deposit must come from the IRA. Okay? Are there techniques and strategies that I close my ears to that can still get the job done? Yes. But I'm not going to advise to do it because it puts you at risk. Do it right from the very beginning. Your contract needs to be titled in the IRA. The question I always get, I actually get people that fight me on this. John, you're crazy. You have no idea what you're talking about. I'm just going to write a contract, as I do all my contracts, as assignable. Who writes assignable contracts? Maybe wholesalers out there? You can wholesale on your IRA, by the way. We don't talk about it in this session, but you can. Well, John, I have all my contracts assignable, so I can just assign the contract to my IRA. That's a prohibited transaction. You can't do it. You can amend the contract or draft a new one, but then you got to deal with the seller again, right? You don't want to do that. So set up and fund the account well in advance so that you don't put yourself at investment risk. All right, how do you actually direct your money is the question. Well, we have tools, we have personnel, we have infrastructure to help you through this process. So the first step is you get a contract and you title the contract in the name of your IRA. You saw that titling. And then step two is you need to get the money from the IRA to the title company, right? How do you do that? We have an online portal. It's called My Equity. Who's used My Equity before? Customers out there. Awesome. So My Equity is a digital experience. It allows you to manage your property. It allows you to process your investments. It allows you to pay for expenses. We have all these tools that we give to our customers to make their life easier. So when you're ready to send money out the door for an earnest money deposit or at closing, you simply log into this digital platform. You key in all the relevant information, you upload a copy of your HUD 1 settlement statement, and then Equity Trust wire transfers the funds directly out the door. And then if you need help, we have personnel that helps you through that process. We actually assign you what's called an investment liaison, somebody that's going to be your coach and your mentor through the entire transaction. And you can give them the authorization to talk to the title company. We'll call the title company, we'll talk to your real estate agent, and we'll actually make sure that that deal closes on time. And then when you have expenses that come up, we have a virtual checkbook. So you simply log online, you make checks payable to whomever they need to be paid payable to, and then we mail those out for you. We also have the ability to send a wire transfer or an ACH direct deposit. So we're making this process as simple and easy as possible, and also all the record keeping and all the administration is done right in this platform. So like I said before, the second reason why I love self-directed IRAs is less paperwork and less administrative burden. This is really the horsepower behind making that happen for you. And Equity Trust continues to invest and adapt and digitize this world to make it easier for you so that you can really do all of this from your smartphone device. All right, let me talk about a few other examples on rentals. So this is Alan from Texas. Alan bought this house for $71,000 using the MyEquity platform, wire transfer of the $71,000 to the title company. He put $20,000 worth of work into it. He had multiple checks made payable to his contractors. He logged online to complete that process. He was in it for $91,000. He's renting it for $1,350 a month. His annual cash flow is $11,200. His return on investment is 12%. This is an all-cash deal. There's no debt financing. There's no other partners on this deal. So on this particular transaction, if he sells this property, it has an appraised value of $123,000. No long-term capital gains tax like we've been talking about. Now, this is in his traditional IRA because he had a 403B. He was a college professor, and he rolled that 403B over into a traditional IRA, and then he bought this property. What he didn't know at that time is that he could convert money from his traditional IRA to his Roth IRA. So everybody pay special close attention to this. Who's heard of a Roth conversion, by the way? Okay, great. For those of you that haven't, don't have to spend much time on it, but very quickly, that's taking money from a traditional IRA, paying the taxes, converting it on into a Roth IRA. Okay? Deal number two, Alan says, you know what? I don't want to ever pay taxes on any of the income again. So he takes around $75,000 and he converts it to a Roth IRA. He buys this property, and by the way, when he converted that $75,000, he had to pay taxes. The $75,000 was added to his 1040 as ordinary income, and he paid taxes. Because see, Alan's theory on this, like Kevin and Cynthia's theory, is, hey, the crop is about waist high, and I don't want to pay taxes when it's 15 feet high and 50 rows wide. So I'm going to get the taxes out of the way on the smaller stock, right? So he converted about $75,000, bought this house for $54,000, put $10,000 worth of work into it, in it for $64,000, renting it for $1,500 a month with annual return on investment of 15 to 16%, cash on cash, $12,000 in annual cash flow. That's all tax-free in his Roth IRA. So fast forward, he's got one house still in his traditional IRA, and he's got three houses in his Roth IRA. He bought a house every year over about 4 to 5 years. So do you think he converted a large sum of money all at once and then waited and then bought those properties? No. He converted in stages to spread out his tax burden so he didn't get a large hefty tax hit in one year. So year one, he converted 75. Then year two, he converted a little bit more, bought his second property in his Roth. Then he bought the third property in the Roth. So now he's got four properties generating 44.8 in annual cash flow. His Roth IRA, you can see here, is generating $33,600 in tax-free cash flow. He's over that magical age of 59 and a half, so he pays 0% tax. Another rental folding in the joint venture concept. This is a property that I own up in Maple Heights. I bought it in March of 2020 for $63,000. We put about $2,000 worth of work into it initially. So very light cosmetic rehab, if you will. Both units were tenanted, actually, by the way. And the tenants are paying $750 a month. So the gross rent on this property is $1,500. The net operating cash flow, it's owned free and clear. The net operating cash flow is anywhere between $1,200 to $1,250 on a monthly basis. Now, when I bought the property, I didn't have enough money in my Roth. So what I did is I partnered my Roth at 55%. My traditional at 35%, and then my LLC that I've set up for my non-IRA deals partnered it at 10%. So this adds another fold to what we talked about before. You can partner with your non-IRA money in multiple IRAs. This is a three-way partnership between my Roth traditional and my LLC. And then I just make sure that all my profits and all my expenses flow 55, 35, and 10%. Is that making sense to you guys? I've seen deals where people have five or six IRAs involved. One investor that I work with, his name is Stan, he's a private lender. He loans money to rehabbers, mobile home developers. He had 10 IRAs and investment accounts on one mortgage note, one loan that he made to an investor. He had his IRA, his Roth IRA, his solo 401k. He had his kids' covered all education savings accounts, and even his health savings account, all partnered in on one transaction. All right, now, let me flip to, what if I partner with a non-disqualified person? So let me pause for a minute. All the partnering transactions I've showed you thus far, my transaction, Gary's transaction, have involved partnering with ourselves or our other family members, right? And a quick Reader's Digest version of who are disqualified persons. Disqualified persons to your IRA include you to your IRA, your spouse, your children, your parents, your grandchildren, your grandparents. So anyone up and down the family tree, just remember, and then your spouse and you, and any business that you own and operate. All right, your business, your LLCs, your corporations, your trust, everything else, those are just alter egos of you, okay? So those are disqualified persons too. You can partner with disqualified persons so as long as you do everything proportionally. Remember that. But what if I partner with a non-disqualified person? So Michelle and I are not disqualified persons to one another. Jerry and I are not disqualified persons to one another. So conceivably, we could do deals together and we don't have to worry about the percentages. This is exactly what Scott and Kate did from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So here's how this worked. Scott had $24,000 in his Roth IRA and he had a $224,000 fix and flip deal. He didn't have enough money in his Roth IRA, obviously, for the full purchase and rehab of this property. He met an investor friend of his, Kate, at a real estate investor association. And Kate had a Roth IRA and a health savings account with Equity Trust Company. And that $200,000 that was in that HSA and Roth IRA was sitting on the sidelines earning 0% interest. Do you folks think that there are investors out walking around with self-directed IRAs that are earning 0% cash in that retirement plan? Absolutely. I know they do. Because guess what? I can see people's accounts, right? That's how I learn about all these transactions. That's how I learn about all these incredible investments and share this with you. Because I have access to this information, right? And so you have the opportunity to network with folks and have the opportunity to put deals together just like we're sharing here. Got to do your own due diligence. All right, remember that. But you can do this. So Scott and Kate got together and they got their attorney on the phone. And they were going to structure this as Scott's Roth IRA was going to borrow money from Kate's HSA and Roth IRA. The attorney said, hey, I've been to some of John's seminars, and I think we should structure this differently. Why do you think the attorney recommended that? UBIT. Michelle knows it. UBIT tax. So what Scott did is he structured it with his attorney as a joint venture. It's a simple five-page legal document, joint venture agreement. Kate's Roth and HSA put in $200,000, and then Scott's Roth IRA put in the $24,000, and under the terms of the joint venture agreement, they're to split the profits 30-70. 70% to Scott's Roth and 30% to Kate's Roth and HSA. Why do you think Scott is taking a lion's share of the profits disproportionately to Kate's HSA and Roth contribution? He found the deal, right? He found the deal. Kate is the passive money partner. So it was a $60,000 profit. Scott's Roth IRA made $42,000 tax-free, 0% tax. He grew his Roth IRA from $24,000 to over $60,000 tax-free. Kate used her Roth and HSA and made $18,000. So she made a 9% return, 18% annualized. She was happy because she went from 0% to 9%, 18% annualized. And Scott was happy because he's grown his account significantly and now he can roll that into his next transaction that he wants to make. Is this making sense to everybody? So what do you need? You need a deal, you need a money partner, and you need an attorney. Good news is there are many real estate attorneys, many of them that are here this weekend, that know about this, have drafted contracts like this, and understand self-directed IRAs. Why? Because I've worked with most of them personally. And if they haven't, you have them call me, and we put our heads together, and we map this out. In fact, I made this easy for our investors. I created a training module that talks about structuring joint ventures and LLCs for multiple IRA investors. I have a whiteboard where I whiteboard this out, and you can literally take this training and send it to your attorney, and your attorney can consume this and then draft the contracts accordingly. I did this because I started whiteboarding individually for individual people the way this stuff works, and I would send a picture to them and their attorney. And I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm spending way too much time and effort. Why don't I just create a module, then I can give it to the masses, and they can take advantage of this. So that's what we've done. All right. So think about joint ventures. This works because Kate and Scott are not disqualified persons to one another. They are not disqualified persons of one another. That's why we can do a disproportionate allocation of profits. That's the key to this, is finding a non-disqualified person. All right, so how do you get started? Yes, sir. They're disqualified persons? Okay, so disqualified persons, remember the up and down the family tree. Parents, children, grandchildren, grandparents. Yourself, your spouse. Any business entity you own. So let's say I partnered with my LLC. So let's say it was John Bowens and PT Family Properties LLC partnered together on a deal. And let's say PT Family Properties put in $50,000 and my IRA put in $50,000 for a $100,000 deal. But then I wanted all my profits to go back to my IRA. That would be a prohibited transaction because my wife and I are disqualified persons to our LLC. It's one and the same. But if we partner with Michelle, who's not a disqualified person, then we can split up the profits any way we want. Yes, sir?
In your previous example, that had been his wife. He was doing the same number, wife. He couldn't have divided it a 70-30. It had to been reversed.
You got it. You got it, correct. Yep, he would have had to do it proportionate to his capital contribution, which $24,000 into a $224,000 deal might have still made sense, but he wanted to juice his Roth IRA, if you will, right? He wanted to grow it in a significant way, take advantage of compounding interest in the absence of taxation, so he could plow that into another deal. Alrighty, so let's move on to how do you actually do this? How do you start putting this all together? Alright, and then very last, we're going to talk about master leasing. Alright, so first step is opening and funding an account. We talked about that. So let me share with you how you can do this. Alright? If you need to open and fund a self-directed IRA, which like we talked about, we would encourage you to do that in advance. In the packet, so you got this packet here with some literature. In the packet, everybody could grab that and take out this account application. Okay, so in your packet, you have a two-page account application. This is going to be step one for you. All right, this is an easy process. The opening of the account is really the easy part. So on this account application, you're going to fill out section 1, section 2, section 3. So in other words, all you have to do is fill out the front page of this application, and then you're going to sign and date the back. Okay? No signing? Okay, May says no signing. She's the boss. So what you're going to do is you're going to fill out the front page of the application. That's it. You're going to stop by our booth at some point this weekend, today preferably. Our booth is right in the front of Sequoia. So if you walk in the actual conference center, you'll see our booth there. It's the only one in the front area there. All right, come see May or I. And we can answer additional questions that you might have and help you get started in setting up your account. Now, funding your account, everyone's a little different here. Some people might have a 401k, some people might have a traditional IRA, some people might have a Roth IRA, some people might want to make a contribution. All right, we'll take you through that process in the coming days. We'll help you with that. You don't have to do all of that on your own. So we have May, who is in the back. May, did you want to go ahead and please?
John is very participating, but unfortunately, Toyota John is getting here as part of my area. So please, if you're interested, open up page 1 of our page, section 1, 2, and 3 of the application. Don't sign it. I'm not keeping any of your personal information. I don't care to. So you're going to hand it to me. I'm going to input everything into our online application process. You're going to get a text message from me personally saying, hey, we're done. Come see me again. You and I will then reconnect one day, Tuesday. I will walk through funding your account, whether it's moving over an employer plan, whether it's starting a contribution, or whether it's doing a transfer from an IRA. Most important thing that John has stressed here today is get this going. If you guys leave this weekend and don't have your IRA set up, you're going to call me in 6 months. I need funded in 2 days, and there's nothing we can do. So I'm the expert when it comes to opening and funding. Please let me know your questions. Thank you, John.
Thank you, May. Awesome. So that's the housekeeping item, the to-do for the weekend and getting started. When your account is up and running, that's only the very beginning. So we don't just leave you on your own from there, of course. We give you training. That's going to be number one, right? You get the training you need. You also get access to our onboarding team. You're actually going to have a single point of contact. We call them an onboarding specialist. And you're going to talk to one of these individuals. And as you have questions, they answer those questions and they take you through the process. And if you're somebody that calls me or calls May this following week and says, hey, I actually have a deal, I got my IRA up and running, what now? We're going to help you through that process. We're going to take you through the online system. We're going to take you through the earnest money deposit. And we'll coordinate that to make sure we help you close on time. Now, this My Equity portal that you're going to get access to, what are you going to get out of it? One is, of course, our real estate and notes purchase portal. We haven't talked a lot about notes, keeping this specific to those three investment strategies. But you have a, you have a portal that allows you to purchase notes as well as make private loans through your self-directed IRA. And then, of course, you have the real estate portal that allows you to execute your real estate transactions from your earnest money deposit all the way through closing. We have the online bill pay system that I mentioned. So call that a virtual checkbook, right? That's going to allow you to quickly send money out to your contractors. We have an online tenant payment system. A lot of people aren't familiar with this. So instead of your tenants making a check payable to your IRA and mailing it to you and then you mail it for deposit, we have this payment system which allows you to send a link to your tenant and then they do a direct deposit right into your IRA. For Kevin and Cynthia, they have 14 rentals in their Roth IRAs. So that's nice for them because it's easier for them to manage the money going back into the accounts. We also, in December, beginning of December, and this is brand new, by the way. This is the first time we're unveiling this, if you will, publicly. Beginning of December, we're launching a prepaid card. All right? And with this prepaid card, you'll be able to use it anywhere from Amazon to Home Depot to Lowe's. Let me mention, for IRA expenses only, okay? When you go to Home Depot, I know it's very enticing to grab a Snickers bar or a pack of cashews. I'm guilty of it. But I make sure that I put away the IRA credit card when I do that, right? Use your personal credit card for those things. Yes, I know Menards, you can buy racks of ribs and gallons of milk, but that doesn't mean you do your grocery shopping with your IRA credit card. Why is that? It's a prohibited transaction, right? But our prepaid card, you're not going to have to upload invoices or receipts. Some other organizations are requiring those types of things. What else? The other thing that's really neat about this prepaid card, which is really exciting, is who pays contractors with Venmo? Who pays contractors with Venmo? I know I do. So you can actually link it up to Venmo so you can pay your contractors directly through that application if you want to with this prepaid card. So, you know, yeah, if you will, have a checkbook. A lot of people talk about a checkbook IRA. You have this checkbook feature, but it's within the confines and protections of a self-directed IRA. So you have more insulation there than one of those other types of systems. Document upload capability. We have a deposit coupon generator, video tutorials and guides as you walk through the transactions. And then a couple last items that I want to mention. Mutual fund and stocks, bonds, and other traditional assets can still be purchased through this platform. So one of the things a lot of people don't know about Equity Trust, because we focus on alternatives, is if you still wanted some exposure to traditional stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, we have the platforms and the technology integration to do that all from one singular account. In fact, mutual funds, there's no trade fees or commissions. And lastly, I'll mention that if you have an existing IRA now and you have mutual funds, ETFs, stock positions in there, in most instances, we can actually just transfer those positions over to Equity Trust so that you don't have to sell them. You can move them over as they are. Nothing changes. And then when you find your opportunity, you find your deal, you can simply liquidate at that point. We're finding that, especially recently because of the challenges in the real estate marketplace, a lot of people are doing that because they know they're going to find a property eventually, but they just don't know exactly when. So they're transferring that money over, They're transferring the assets over in kind, and then they can pull the trigger when they're ready to do that. So you can talk to May specifically about that, and you can help, and she can help you with it. Also, make sure to talk to May about our Gold Level Service Program. I'm not going to go into detail with the program, but as a Gold Level Service member, when you sign up for an account, you're going to get access to our Gold Level membership team. These are going to be your mentors or coaches, if you will, through all of your transactions and investments. They're going to make it a really easy process for you. Okay?
Can I have a client that wants to say something about Gold Level Service? Is that okay?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. That's correct.
You cannot go without somebody talking. They're there. I spent an hour the other day, and they had one thing to do. We got all crazy out, but it's for the
worst. Awesome. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. We all are, right? I am. Right? I'm a landlord. Come on. All right, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's good to see you again. So you can take advantage of this program. May can talk to you a little bit more about all the perks and benefits of it. But the number one perk is the additional hand-holding you get, especially when you're a new customer of ours. But even for those that have been with us for many years, we find that folks do like to upgrade to our Gold Level Service Program. And we also throw in some additional certificates, some processing certificates, to save you some money as you transact in the coming days. The fee for the account, we'll show you a fee schedule. A couple things that I'm doing here special this weekend. Okay. When you set up an account, you pay a maintenance fee and you pay a $50 setup fee. So Scott, with his $24,000 IRA, he paid a maintenance fee of $330 and a $50 setup fee. And how much money did he make on his first deal? $42,000 tax-free. So we walked him through that. We made it a tax-efficient account. He paid me $330 and a $50 setup fee, and he made $42,000. Do you think he offered to buy me lunch next time I'm in Milwaukee?
Yes.
So we want to make this low-cost and very effective for you. You're the one that's driving the car here, right? We're the custodian that's providing the training, the education, the support for you to be able to get to those retirement goals in the shortest period of time possible. All right. Last, yes. Yes, great question. So you don't have to pay for the fee from the account. A lot of people don't want to devalue their Roth dollars. So you can actually pay for the fee with a credit card, and you can do that every year thereafter. So what we're going to do this weekend is we're going to charge you no fee for the remainder of 2021. All right? So typically folks have to pay an amount now and then next year. And so you could save anywhere between $100 to, if you have a larger account, $500. So if you're signing up this weekend, get with May. She'll walk you through that. And you'll pay no fee for 2021. You'll just pay an annual maintenance fee for 2022. All right? So, master leasing. Let's go through this. What is master leasing? We are renting a property from an exhausted landlord, and then we're turning around and renting it out to an end tenant occupant. So Candace from Ohio has really created the blueprint for this. So let me show you what she did. This house is in Twinsburg, Ohio. She fully furnished it. It's a two-bedroom, one-bath. Her IRA entered into a master lease agreement with a right of first refusal. Master lease with a right of first refusal. Why would we do a right of first refusal in a master lease agreement? Exactly. We don't want that homeowner or that landlord to sell the property under us. We got furnishings in there. We got money we put into the deal, right? So we want right of first refusal. IRA wrote a $1,000 earnest money deposit to the landlord. The IRA made a $1,000 first month's rent payment. So the IRA now is only out $2,000, or the IRA has only invested $2,000, right? Why would a landlord do this? Why do you think? Who's a landlord in here? I am. Okay? Why would we do this? Some of you may not want to do this, but why do you think, especially an aging landlord, an exhausted landlord would do this? They want the cash flow. Candace is having trouble buying properties because everybody thinks, every landlord thinks that their property is worth way more, right, than it actually is. Are you guys with me on that? It's tough. So instead, she's negotiating these master lease agreements. So she's finding exhausted landlords. In fact, she found one landlord with 75 properties. She's done one already and is looking to do multiple more. So then her IRA furnished the house, fully furnished the house. That costed her $5,000. Her IRA paid for those expenses. You can imagine that prepaid card is going to come in handy for her future transactions. The agreement stipulates, the master lease agreement stipulates, that any incidental expenses under $100, they take care of. So the landlord's benefit is they get a $1,000 monthly rent check, and they don't have to deal with the tenant calls, and another bonus is that they're taking care of the property for them, right? They're increasing the value of the property. They do a minimum 1 month lease on this property, or on these properties. Why a minimum 1 month lease? What you'll learn is if your IRA starts engaging in an ongoing trade or business, which short-term rentals could be considered, your IRA could be subject to a special tax called UBIT tax. It's kind of like that leveraged UBIT tax, but different. 511 to 514 of the tax code, if you're interested. And so we do a minimum one month lease on this. And what she's getting is between 3 to 6 month leases on this on these properties. So here's how the numbers work out. This is the first deal. She did this in 2021. Minimum 1 month lease. She's renting it out for $2,600 on a monthly basis. She's paying out $1,000, getting $2,600, so you got a $1,600 spread for $19,200. So year one financials, she puts a $1,000 deposit down, $12,000 in rent, that's for the full year, right? $5,000 in furnishings, and then the miscellaneous expenses, the incidental repairs, the food masters and flappers, right? The utilities, she's got $4,800. So her year one investment is $22,800. Her gross rent is $31,200. So her principal of $22,800 is paid back. And now she's got $8,400 in tax-free profit. Right? So that's just year one. What if we fast forward to year two? Year two, we got $15,200 in operating profit. Because in year two, we don't have the $5,000 in furnishings, right? So if we start stacking this, year three, what if we also make IRA contributions? Do you think IRA contributions every year are important? Yeah. So $22,800 is our starting balance, $8,400 in year one income. We make our IRA contribution of $6,000. We got $15,200 year two income. We make our IRA contribution in year two of $6,000. Year three income of $15,200. $6,000 year three contribution. Our ending balance, her ending balance, is $79,600. And that's just one property. What if in year two she gets another one of these properties online? What if in year three she gets a third property online? Now she's created over $100,000 tax-free through this master lease arrangement. So that's the master lease concept. All right, how do you actually take action in doing that? Well, you need a master lease agreement. Now, I know of a good attorney that has one that's refined this for self-directed IRAs. All right, Candace has also been helpful in providing a lot of training and education through this process. So she has been willing to help me help others figure out how to do this. And so I'll end with this. If you're interested in getting started, you know what you need to do as far as the application is concerned. I mentioned a course, and I mentioned that I'd share with you how to get access to said course. This is the IOA Owner's Manual that you can take advantage of. And this is a multi-module course that you can kind of select the courses that make the most sense or the modules that make the most sense for you. When you're ready to do your first real estate deal, we have a training that's called the Real Estate Closing Process. Simple as that. It walks you through the step-by-step. It actually introduces you to an IOA-friendly title company called IOA Title Pro. It's actually an integrated title company solution with Equity Trust you can take advantage of. If you want to get into legacy planning, estate planning, you want to make sure you set your beneficiaries up properly. We have a course called Legacy and Estate Planning in there for you. Now, the cost of this course is $1,875, okay? We're not in the business of selling courses at Equity Trust. We're in the business of helping people with their IRAs succeed. And so what we've done is we've taken this course and we've said, okay, if you're setting up an account, all right, you'll get a copy of this course. You'll get this course for free. All right, as simple as that. There are many Equity Trust clients that are here. By show of hands, who's an Equity Trust client? Okay, awesome. Please come see us. We want you to be able to participate and take advantage as well. All right, you're certainly not excluded from this. But for those of you that don't have a self-directed IRA and you're getting started, we want to make sure that you take full advantage of this owner's manual and everything that's included in it. I mentioned a module that you can share with your attorney. That's in here. LLC formation, trusts, how to set up multi-member LLCs with self-directed IRAs for large land development transactions. We have examples in there for you. Investing in private lending or private notes. We have a course on that as well. So you can learn as you go. I wouldn't say this is a, you have to consume it all over the course of a week. This is, you can select and use this in real time when it makes the most sense for you. Would an IRA owner's manual be helpful to you? Okay, awesome. So, we're at time. We don't have time for questions, but we do want to raffle off a gift card for those that are still here. And last but not least, I'll just say, you know, thank you everyone for joining us in today's session. I do appreciate it. I hope you guys got a ton out of this session. Certainly there is more information and education we can share with you. So please come see us, and we can help you along that process.
All right. Is John not incredible?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. Yes, absolutely. Yep. Same thing. Yep.
All right, you can have to be present to win this $250 Home Depot card. And we are giving another $250 gift card when we speak tomorrow. John, I'm going to have you draw, please.
Okay.
Let's take mine down.
Karen Gerald. Karen Gerald.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.